So there are two things I want to do with you today, and once again, I'm going to go out of order. The first thing we should talk about, but we'll talk about that second if we get to it, is the din of being machzir panav. First thing I want to talk to you about is the din of sayar, sayar b'isha erva, as our Gemara says. So there's a machlokas whether this halacha is a din in Kriya Shema or not. The first two halachas of our Gemara, namely Tefach and Shop, are certainly dinim in Kriya Shema, and then the latter two, namely Kol and Sayar, is unclear. Hopefully tomorrow we'll talk about Kol. The Rambam does not mention Hilchos Kriya Shema, neither Sayar nor Kol. Interesting question is, what would the Rambam say about Kriya Shema? Would the Rambam say that at the very least it's bichlal tefach megula? In other words, since we already know that in terms of Hilchos Kriya Shema, if there's a tefach megula, you can't say Kriya Shema, so sayar, which has to be covered, so therefore it'd be a tefach megula. It's included in that halacha. Though the Beis Yosef seems to understand that according to the Rambam, it wouldn't be an iser at all. It's not bichlal makomos hamechusim. Presumably because the etzem sayer is different. It's an erva legabe re'iyah, but not legabe kriya shma. And we'll see in a certain sense it's more chamor. The lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bi'ah is it's asar liros, as opposed to when it comes to other parts, the Rambam says it's asar l'staka lehanos. So here might be more chamor in a certain sense, but it might also be more kal in terms of iser kriya shema. And this is going to bring us to a major issue, which we'll get back to in a moment, which is that perhaps the basis of this difference is that the reason why you have to cover your hair is because of a pasuk or a mitzvah, as opposed to the other things that have to be covered, which are being covered because they're goyim hirur or the like. And we'll get back to that chiluk in a couple minutes. If we look at the Rambam in Yisurei Bi'ah, Chaf Aleph Beis, as we noted, he writes, Ve'afilu liros se'ara aser. So here he didn't mention derech hanah. Now you could say that's not much of a chiddush because we already know, as the Prima Gadim told us, that mekomos mechusim are aser even without hana, and these are makomos and mechusim. But nevertheless, the Rambam's formulation is striking, that it's just an iser of re'iyah. And as noted, that might stem from the fact that there's a pasuk in the Torah. What is the pasuk? So it's a Gemara in Ksubos, Daf Ayin Beis Mid Aleph, Rosha Parua De'oraisa. The context of that Gemara is in the sugya of Ksubos. The Mishnah tells us that someone who's overas al das Moshe or al das Yehudis is mafsedes ksubasa. Now, not keeping the Torah does not cause a woman to be mafsedes ksubasa if she is mechal Shabbos, even if that's the most chamor iser, she's not mafsedes her ksubasa, and that's because it's not pogea b'nyanishas. She shouldn't do it, of course. But she doesn't lose her ksuba. What causes her to forfeit her ksuba? Das Moshe and Das Yudis. What's Das Moshe? So one example is she feeds him non-kosher food. The Gemara discusses how exactly she could actually be caught doing so. It's Machlokas Rishonim. If she attributes Ploni Chacham Tikemli, and we ask him, is he believed or no? Only if there's Edim. But one way or the other, things like Meshamash Donida, or giving him non-kosher food, once they've been proven, once we could prove that she did that to him, so then she forfeits her ksuba. Because these are things that don't allow for ishus. And the Gemara also says, Das Yehudis, what is Das Yehudis? Not covering her hair. So the Gemara asks, Rosha Parua Doraisahi, why are you calling that Das Yehudis? That's Das Moshe. Das Yehudis is the tznius shenagu b'nos Yisrael. The type of tznius that Jewish women do. She doesn't do that. She's forfeits her ksuba. That's Das Yehudis. But how could you consider Rosh HaParua as Das Yehudis? It's Doraisa. After all, dechsev ufara rosh haisha. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel Azhar of Nos Yisrael shel yetzu bifrua rosh. This is an azhara that Jewish women cannot be have their hair uncovered. Now, it is interesting that the simple reading of the Gemara certainly that this is an Isser de Oraisa, uses the lashon basara, quotes a pasuk, it says de Oraisa he. But that's not so simple. The Jewish Hadashim in Simon Reish Mem Beis writes that the Rambam holds this is only a din de Rabbanan. The Tshuva is really talking about Yichud primarily. And Yichud also, there's a question, is it de Oraisa or de Rabbanan? And he writes over there, V'afagav de Rambam kasadeinu element of Kabbalah, ha'iunami, so Yichud is only divrei Kabbalah. Ha'iunami kasav de priyas rosh bisha eno ala zehirus midrabanan kidmuchach milshono umistama saverle de parch tamuda de oraisa ratzaloma remes de oraisa yeshla imkein Yichud nami. So again, the topic of whether Yichud's de oraisa or not is not our Indian now, but what he says in passing is relevant for us. He says that even though the Gemara says Deoraisa, it doesn't mean Deoraisa. How does he know that? K'demuchach milshono. So muchach, he doesn't tell us. How is muchach? We'll talk about that in a moment. But it's obvious. Anyone who reads the Rambam knows that this is the Rabbanan. Ah, but what about the Gemara? Didn't the Gemara say Deoraisa he? No, what the Gemara means is remez Deoraisa yeshla. In other words, we shouldn't call things das Yehudis if there's a remez b'klal. Das Moshe doesn't mean it's nisa d'oraisa. Das Moshe means that it's referred to in the Torah. After all, the word das is not halacha, not iser, das. So how did he know that in the Rambam? Where is it muchach in the lashon of the Rambam? Could be, because the Rambam doesn't say aser. It comes up in Yisra'iviyah parakaf aleph. The Rambam does say a bunch of things in that parakaf aser, like the next halacha is aser lotzi shichva zara. Here he doesn't say it's deraisa aser. He just says lo yahalchu b'nos Yisrael pruei rosh. But there are a lot of things in this parak that it says lo. It's hard to really figure out when he says lo and when he says aser. He has a lot of asers, a lot of lows. So I don't know if that's so muchach just because he says lo that it's not deraisa. And the truth is, a lot of things that he says aser on are derabanan. So in this parak, there are things that are aser. So I don't think it could be just lo versus aser. Could be that the Rambam just doesn't quote a pasuk. So therefore, the Rambam, when things are derisive, to let you know. And especially the context over here is mostly, if not entirely, talking about dinim derabanan. So in the context of the parak, plus the fact that he doesn't quote a pasuk, is indicative that it's derabanan. And one might add that the fact is that he includes pinuyos and equates them with nisuos. The Rambam's lashon is lihalchu b'nos Yisrael pruei rosh b'shuk achas pinuya v'achas eishes ish. So there is no difference. It's hard to say that a pinuya is deraisa. If we were going to learn it out from that pasuk in Parshas Naso, maybe the pasuk's only talking about a nesua. So if he equates them, maybe that indicates that we're not talking about a din deraisa. It's not a drasha gemura, but rather an asmachta. Is that mochrach? I don't know. No. But I don't know what Tzuras says muchach milshono. He doesn't explain. So I think those are all possibilities. Probably the strongest possibility is just the context of the parak and the lack of pasa. But again, the fact that it would
apply. The difference between the Surah Narusa and Priya is to say that it's just a din. It's not a din of sneers at all.
That might be that we'll get to soon, but right now I'm not talking about that point. Whatever the din is it deraisa derabanan?
Right, but I'm saying that it's not difficult for the Ram to say no. I think it is din and yes, and therefore it's obvious that there's the same for Puya and things.
You're saying that the logic, if you were to hold that it's deraisa, the pasuk's talking about a nesua. So the logic is that if it's a din and sneas, why should you be machalik? And that's the reason why this is true. That's why it's not a very good raya to say that the fact that he equates them shows it's not deraisa. Okay, I could hear that. So one way or the other, at the very least, the Trumas Hadashin assumes this is a din De Rabbanan. There's maybe a source in Chazal as well that sounds like it's a din de Rabbanan. It's from the Sefrei on that pasuk in Parshas Naso. V'amid ha-kohen ha-seisha, if you want to look it up, it's Piska Yud Aleph Os Yud Aleph. V'amid ha-kohen ha-seisha l'fnei Hashem makom shemamida v'tchila shemina parso she'isha kohen nifne la'achoreh u'porah k'dei l'kayim ba'mitzvahs priyad v'rishal davarah limeid albinos Yisrael shehen mechusos roshehen v'afal pi she'en ra'i l'davar zeich l'davar. Vatikach Tamar Efer al Rosha. Pasuk from Shmuel. She put some type of covering on her head. So the Medrash over here, the Sefer says, in quoting the same drashas our Gemara, sounds like Derabbanan Lashon Nafal Pishen Mai Ladavar Zech Ladavar. So the Sefer, at the very least, sounds like this drasha might be an Asmachta, in which case that might lean one to read the Gemara in a way that the Truma Sadeshin is reading it, not that this is a Din D'Oraisa. Okay. Yeah, so I was wondering about that, but that means an additional Yudavod Lakra. In other words, we just quoted a D'Oraisa and that it's Aser. And then now we're saying, oh, Aval B'Shein Rai L'Davar Zeich L'Davar, and I'll quote you an Asmachta from Sefer Shmuel. So I think it means afal pisha in ra'il adavar that there's a chiyuv of kisui seyar, and clearly then this pasuk from Parshas Naso can't prove it. So, but again, I still think that these sources notwithstanding, the simple reading of the Gemara Ksubos is that it's a din d'oraisa. And this is stated explicitly in a Shelta Giborim, but might be presumed by most of the Mefarshim. So far, again, we mentioned two possibilities, right? We said either our Gemara is talking about a din in Krishma, or it's a din in general. The Rambam put Seyar and Kol together. What's interesting is the tour didn't bring Seyar, it didn't bring Kol in Hilchos Krishma, but he did bring Seyar. So he splits it. He splits it. Now, the Rambam also says, when we look at the halacha in Isurei Bia, says, Lo yehalchu b'nos Yisrael purei rosh b'shuk. So here he mentions shuk. And we'll see elsewhere where the Rambam deals with the Isser, not Bishuk. I guess we'll see. We should see the Gemara first in Ksubos. The Rambam over here doesn't tell you exactly what has to be covered. It's interesting, by the way, assuming, let's say, that it is a Din D'Oraisa, or even in the Rambam, where the Lashon of Purei Rosh, which is, what does the word mean, right? We darshan this from the Pasuk, whether it's a drash or an asmachta, and again, Lashon of the Rambam, that you can't be Purei Rosh. So does that mean, should we translate that as hair uncovered? Is that what the drasha is telling us? Is that what the psukim are telling us? So it's interesting because in other contexts, that's not what the words mean. I think probably maybe a better definition would be wild hair. In the context of moed katan and hilchos avelus, it means growing out your hair. Or also by mitzora, right? When the pasuk says, that's a ruach yabo hanega, the gadavio frumim v'rosho yafarua. We don't mean over there that he uncovers his hair. It means he grows his hair, and nazir as well. Rashi, if we turn to the pasuk in Parshas Naso, Rashi says ufara, so ser es klias seara. k'deil levazosa, mikam levnos Yisrael shegilui harosh g'nai lohen. So Rashi is trying to make the bridge. In other words, how do we learn from the pasuk that doesn't actually mean uncover, it means mess up or take out the braids, right? So that's what the pasuk means, I think. That's what Rashi is saying. The pasuk does mean to take out her kli asara. But mikan, from here, we're able to learn shegilui harosh is genai lahem. In Sota, on Daf Chesem at Aleph, it says, Tan Rabbanan, ufara es rosh ha'isha, en li al rosh ha'isha, ta roma isha, im kein matam ad loma ufara es rosha, melamed shakoin soser es sehara. So actually over there, and that's where Rashi, I guess, is coming from as well, the Gemara says we're talking about to be soser es sehara. And Rashi says, upara, b'chol makom lashon gilui hu. Rashi in Ksubos on that Gemara, Virosha Parua. This is not the Kisusera Gemara. This is the Gemara that says in Ksubos that how do you know if a woman is a Besula or not in terms of her Ksuba? So it says that the simen is Rosha Parua. So what does Rosha Parua mean? Rashi says, Se'ara al tefeha, so the Besula goes to her wedding with Rosh HaParua, which means her hair on her shoulders. Kacha yunogin la'otzi es ha'besula mipes avien leveis ha'chasana. So Rosh HaParua there also means, I think, without braids. In other words, loose hair maybe would be the more precise translation. So I assume the idea is that the word parua means wild. And for a man, that means, you know, growing out his hair, not covering his hand. For a woman, where it's covered or braided, it means taking out the braids. And from there, we derive the halacha of covering, that it can't, again, for probably most Rishonim, Dindaraisa, that it must be covered. There's a tshuva in the Sride Eish. It's in Evan Ha'ezer, Simen Ayin Ches. So he deals with this issue of how you learn out from the word. In other words, if the word doesn't mean uncover, how you learn and how Rashi's learning from that word that it means uncover. He deals with the psukim and the like.
I was just going to say, meaning if that's Shana Perua, so wouldn't that just teach me that Mikan Shinos Yisrael have to wear a nice hair? I mean, they can't have the hair.
Well, it could mean that they have to wear braids. It's right. True. So we're, I don't know. I'm not sure how exactly. What Rashi tells us is we're able to make that jump. Take a look at the Sride Eish and he explains it, explains exactly how. But it's a good, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. So now we have to figure out where exactly this applies. So again, we're not talking right now about the Indian of Krishna. We'll get back to that, but rather the Isser or the mitzvah. So the Gemara says that after asking the question, isn't it Daraisa? The Gemara answers, Daraisa kalsa shapir dami. Again, we're in Ksubos, Ayin Beis, and then Aleph going on to Ayin Beis. Das Yehudis afilu kalsa nami aser. So that's the answer. Midaraisa, for now we'll assume that means literally you need kalsa. What's a kalsa? We'll have to define that. And midirabanan, you need something more than a kalsa. That's what Das Yehudis. I shouldn't say midirabanan, I should say Das Yehudis. I'm a Rasim of Yochanan, kalsa enba mishum prua rosh. Havi barebi zera hecha, ilema bishok, das Yehudis he. So you must do so. Ela b'chatzer, im kein lo nachta bas la avram avinu, shio sheves tachas b'ayla. Now, that's a key line that's debated. But first we'll explain the Gemara Kipshuto, this is the view of Tosos, the Quran, and others, that it means that because women in their chatzer don't cover their hair. So if we're going to say that that it's Yesh Rosh and Pris Rosh. How could that be? Nobody, almost nobody, wears covered hair in their chatzer. In which case, we're saying basically that there's three levels. There is Bashuk, where you say that Kalsa isn't enough, you need something more. We have the Chatzar, in which case you don't need anything. At least if no men are around, we'll have to talk about what the halacha would be if men are around. And then we have the middle view, the middle level of Chatzar, Chatzar, Derech, Mavui, which is enough to have a Kalsa, whatever exactly that is. Yeah.
How do we know Chatzar is when men aren't around?
I didn't say that. I said, we'll have to figure out. Now, how would we know? So the Pashup shot is that if it's Aser Liros, her hair, right? That's the Rambam says, in Isurabia, back at the beginning of the parak Chathalef, that Vafilu Liros Sa'ara Aser, it's Aser to look at a woman's hair. So then it's pretty pashut that she should have to cover it. At least you're putting him in a pretty awkward situation. You can't look at her hair. And again, here he doesn't say even Lestakel or Lestakel Elhanos or the like. He says it's Aser Liros. But from this Gemara, so far, that isn't clear. Okay. I should point out as well, by the way, in Rashi, I should mention this before, but in Rashi, how do we know that from the pasuk that you have, she has to cover her hair? So Rashi in Ksubos has two pshatim. Rashi says, Azhara, midi avdinan lahachi l'navla, midi k'neged mida, kemo she'asasa l'hisnaos al bo ala, mechlal v'asar. So if she must have uncovered her hair to beautify her hair herself before the person she was with. So mida k'neged mida, we uncover her hair. That's what the psukim are telling us. And mechlal to aser, we could extrapolate from that it's aser. Now, the psukim don't say it's aser. The psukim tell us you uncover her hair, and we're supposed to figure out why do you uncover her hair. Well, it must be mida k'neged mida. Well, that teaches us that it's aser. That's Rashi's first pshat. Inami, Rashi says, midachsiv ufara mechlal deushaita lav prua havas. From the fact that we uncover hair, that indicates that until this point, until she enters the azara and the kohen uncovers her hair, that her hair must have been covered. Shmamina ein darach nos yisrael atzeis pruos rosh v'chein ikker. So the second pshat is that it's just, we could figure out the metzias, right? If the Kohen has to uncover her hair, it sounds like her hair must have been covered thus far. Mechlal, that ein darech benos Yisrael, lots of poor Rosh and Rosh, that's actually the Iker Pshat. Now, if you read Rashi very literally, you might actually say Rashi in the second Pshat, which he says is Iker, is not saying that there's an Iser at all. It's just not the Derech. It's not the Derech. And the difficulty with that is, well, then why is it Das Moshe? And what do we mean when we say Doraisahi? If it's just telling us it's not the Derech, right, we're trying to explain that line of Doraisahi. So what is Rashi getting in the second shot? So Rav Moshe writes that it doesn't mean that it's not Aser, but rather it's, the question is whether it's a mitzvah or not. This is, by the way, Igros Moshe, Evan Ezer, Simen Nun Zayin. Chilakal Simen Nun Zayin. So the first pshat in Rashi says it's an Isser, right? Mechlal de Aser. The second pshat in Rashi, what he's saying means it's just a mitzvah. Now, what difference does it make if it's a mitzvah or an Isser? Either way, Moshe is assuming is it's a deraisa. The nafkamina is how you deal with the situation where it's very difficult. For example, there is a big difference between something that's aser and foregoing a mitzvah in their difficult situations. When something is aser, so you have to give up all your money not to violate an iser. When something is a mitzvah, So then there's a halacha of chomish nechasim. You not have to give up more than a chomish nechasim. And Rav Moshe assumes that concept could be monetized in terms of tzar. In other words, if it causes me so much tzar that I would be willing to give up chomish nechasim, so then if it's a mitzvah, then it would be obligatory. Rav Moshe, then, so what would emerge then, according to Rashi, is if you had a situation of where it's very, where there's a lot of tsar for a woman to cover her hair, maybe she wouldn't have to if she'd be willing to pay chomesh nechasaha to avoid that tsar, maybe she wouldn't need to. Rav Moshe assumes, though, that we are machmer for the first view in Rashi, that it's a din d'oraisa when we're dealing with a d'oraisa obligation of kisui se'ar. So, for example, a married woman, Rav Moshe assumes married woman is d'oraisa, an almana or a grusha is d'rabbanan. And therefore, you could follow the lenient view that it's only a mitzvah, not a iser. So the nafkamina Rav Moshe talks about is, let's say a woman would lose her job if her hair was covered and she's an almana. So if that's chomish nechaseha, then maybe she wouldn't have to. Or more relevant is if she thinks that she won't find a shidduch. Nobody's going to marry a woman who's covering her hair. At least that, per, you know, in those days, maybe that was more of an issue. A lot of the tshuvos of Rav Moshe were dealing with the reality where most wears rare to cover, for women to cover their hair. Certainly no longer married women. Baruch Shem Asher Dara, and now it's a lot more common. But at least in Alita and other Ashkenazi countries, then for whatever reason, now's not the time to talk about how it happened, but the mitzvah d'oraisa, the iser d'oraisa of kisui se'ar, was not observed even by otherwise very religious and pious people. But anyway, so Moshe says that we could be makel for an almana, that if she thinks that she wouldn't be able to get married, well, is that worth more than chomesh, right? Would somebody looking to get married be willing to spend a fifth of their assets to get married? Certainly they would. So if you think you won't be able to get married with your hair covered and you're an almana, then maybe Rav Moshe says there would be room for leniency. And that's what he says comes out from this second pshat in Rashi. Yes?
What about mitzad, like yetzin din seir disha erva? Meaning like, could one argue that there's like a litna either or something over the right side and the hara or whatever?
Okay, so there might be. And that's actually going to get to an issue we're going to discuss, I hope, a little later, which is what's the halacha in the event that most people don't cover their hair. Does it have a din erva legabe other people in terms of and the like? Talk about the famous school of the Aruch HaShulchan and why the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. And maybe here also we would distinguish between the Dirabbanan and Deraisa in this respect. Maybe everybody would agree that the Din Dirabbanan is only, would not, in a world where most women anyway didn't cover their hair, it wouldn't be an erva for Kriyashma if she's not married. Because that it's only the din d'oraisa that would create that din. But you're right, that would be something that would have to be taken into account. So the Rambam's shita, if we turn to what exactly is Das Yehudis in the Rambam, the Rambam is tricky, because for one thing, he's going to be using some words that are hard to translate, like a redid and a mitpachas. The Rambam refers to these words in three or four or five places, and then we need to figure out what exactly Rambam holds. So we'll start with Ishus Perk Chavdal at Halachia Beis, where he's poskening this Gemara in Ksubos. Ezu Idas Yehudis, Huminag Hatznios, Shenag Menos Yisrael, Veluhein Hadvarim, Sheim Asis Achad Mehan, Arval Das Yehudis, Yotze Lashuk, Olam Avui Mefulash. So Mavui Mefulash, which means a Mavui that you could go all the way through from one Rishus Rambam to the other. And the Rambam probably got this from the Yerushalmi, but the Rambam assumes that Mavui Mefulash, any busy street basically, as opposed to a dead-end street, any busy street that will have the status of Rishus Rambam, if the Rosh Parua, the Ein Ala Redid Kechol Hanashim, Afal Pi Shesara Mechusa B'Mepachas. So what does that mean? So she doesn't have a redid, but she has a mitpachas. So that's the kalsa of the Gemara, is mitpachas, right? So what is a kalsa? So Rashi on the Gemara said kalsa is a basket, some type of basket that has a base kibbul on the bottom, that so it stays on your head. For Rashi, the difference between the Das Moshe and Yudis, Das Yudis might be how much is covered. That Das Moshe, a more minimal amount is covered, not clear how much. Das Yehudis is more, maybe everything, not so clear. For the Rambam, you don't get that impression. The Rambam sounds like, even the Dinda Oraisa, which is the Mitpachas, it says, Afal B'Yishasar Mechusa B'Mitpachas, sounds like all her hair is covered, B'Mitpachas. So what exactly then is the din of, what is a redid? Redid sounds like it's some type of veil that they would wear on top of the mitpachas. Mitpachas was like a scarf or a handkerchief, and then they would wear a veil on top of that. So it's not clear exactly what these things mean. But the simple reading of the Rambam is that because of Das Yudas, she had to wear two head coverings. It's not just enough to wear one head covering, it has to be two. It's just like the Hasidim in Williamsburg. They wear a shetel, and then they wear a kerchief on top of the shetel. So that's what my grandmother used to do sometimes, at least when she would go to shul or light candles. So maybe that sounds like, to some degree, not a shetel part, but the idea of two head coverings, that's what it sounds like a little bit from the Rambam. And however, the Rav Avadia in Yabia Omer, Evan Ezer, Chelakei, Tshuvahei, based off of the Tshuva Me'ava and the Dirk and the Bach, argues that no, the difference between the Redid and the Mitpachas is the Mitpachas had holes in it or something like that. After all, a kalsa means a basket. So what's the idea of a basket? I guess a basket is woven with material. There are holes in it, or it's partially can see through. So what the redid does is that it does cover more hair, not in the sense of more hair that more is covered, like all of it versus half of it, but in the sense that now it's not see-through or partially see-through. Now it's totally, there's no visible hair.
So it's the same amount covered, just as a clear covering?
I don't know, clear, I imagine it's like a weave. The mitpachas is like a weave where you can see some of the hair through it, and the redid is something that's thicker and you can't. I certainly don't really know what these words are, but that's I think that's what he's saying. This is Rav Avadia quoting from the Tshuva Me'ava and his understanding of the Bach. I don't remember the Bach saying it, but I didn't look back. Hey, Evan Hazer, hey. It's in the Shetel Tshuva, but Toch Dvarav, he says that. Now, in Hilchos Sota, if you want to compare it, the Rambam, this is Gimel Hey, the Rambam writes, V'chol, V'hi Omedes Beinehem, Velo redid, uvelo mitpachas, ela bevegadeha, vekipa shal rosha, kemo shehaisha besoch beis. It's very interesting. But now there's a third thing. In her house, she wears a kippah. And when they take, what do they take off for the sota? They take off the mitpachas and the redid, but they leave on the kippah. Now, if you read the Rambam Kipshuto, no, Kipshuto, not like Rav Avadia. I think the way he's generally understood, which is that the difference is that this is just a second head covering. So then you have a question. So does that mean all the women, other than the women in Williamsburg who only wear one head covering, are in violation of Das Yehudis according to the Rambam? So answer. And the truth is, you could ask the same question on Penuya for that matter, though that depends on how you define Penuya. But if you define Penuya as unmarried, not as Be'ula, but unmarried. So then everybody's also violating that din. So maybe in Bnei Brak, I mean in Meir Sharon, where they wear the braids, so they have at least they have the Magen Avraham. But at least our women in our circles who don't even have braids. So does that mean they're violating Das Yehudis according to the Rambam? So the answer might be that Das Yehudis is Mashinagu Benos Yisrael. As we mentioned before, this was, if you call Rabbi Willig's objection to the Mishnah Brura's inference that Shok is objective Erva. Remember, the Mishnah Brura proved the fact that it says in Ksubos over here in this Sugya that Zroseha Megula, her upper arm is uncovered. That's an example of Das Yehudis. So Mishnah Brura said, you see from here that you have to cover your upper arm regardless in any and all societies. In other words, at least it's a Takana de Rabbanan. And if that's the understanding of Das Yehudis, so then perhaps we're in violation of Das Yehudis, according to the Rambam, if we don't wear a redid on top of our mitpachas, or we don't, the single girls don't do it. If, on the other hand, you understand that Das Yehudis might change, and yes, in the times of the Rambam, that meant the redid on top of the mitpachas, or even in the times of Chazal, but that could change from time to time, and Minag Benos Yisrael will change from time to time and place to place. So at least with respect to Das Yehudis, we might not necessarily be in violation of the Rambam, even if we don't wear a redid. In Hilchos, just one other place where the Rambam uses these terms, which I don't know if it adds more confusion or less confusion, but I'll mention it anyway. In Hilchos Ishos Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Aleph, he's talking about what the types of clothing a husband has to buy his wife, right? Sher Ksus Vona, so what's included in Ksus? So in Halacha Aleph, he says you have to buy her a kippah, Larosha. And in Halacha Yud Aleph, he writes, Makom Shadarkan Shalotetze Isha Beshuk, Bekippah Shal Rosha Vilvat, Achu Allah Redid Hachofa, as Kogufa. Right? You don't have to buy the most expensive redid, you can buy the cheapest redid. But in the places where the women wear redid, so then you have to buy her a redid. So I think that supports what I was just suggesting, which is that the redid is taloi in the minhag makom. And therefore, if you live in a place where women wear redids, where they wear these veils, so then you have to buy her a veil. And if you don't, so then you just have to buy her a kippah. So that might further support what I'm suggesting, which is that the Rambam, the redid of the Rambam, when the Rambam says that you have to wear a redid, he means in places where they wear a redid. Now, maybe you could be docha the raya, because you could say this is a different redid. This is a redid hachofes kogufa. This is like a long veil. It's not the redid he was talking about elsewhere, but then he should have said the basic redid in Halacha Aleph. So I think the simple reading might support that. Okay. So what about Chatzer? What about Chatzer? So we already mentioned that probably the simple reading of the Gemara is that in your own chatzer, you don't need to cover anything at all. And this is what emerges from the beer of Tosfos and the Ran and other Rishonim. The Tor in Simon Kuf Tezvav in Eben Ha'ezer, which is Hilchos Ksuba, writes, the Dafka Shiotzas Kain Bershas Rabim, O B'mavu Yemefulash, O B'chatzer Sharabim Bokimbo. Aval B'mavu Yishenu Mefulash, B'chatzer Shena Rabim Bokimbo, Lo Teitze. Lo Teitze. So that sounds like it's not appropriate if she goes into this more private area, but it's not appropriate. So the Beis Yosef makes this deal, and he's very troubled by it. Shakasa Vavlobu Mavlish and a foolish for Hatsh in a rabbi Bogan Bolotate, say, Dimashma, Lotate me by law de kach. Af al pi. I should point out, by the way, that when we say over here that she's Mafsedes or Ksuba, that means if the husband wants to divorce her and not pay her the Ksuba, then he may do so. It doesn't mean he's chayev to divorce her. And I imagine as well that if he doesn't, decides not to divorce her, then should he decide to divorce her later time for a different reason, he would have to pay the ksuba. But it doesn't say you have to divorce her. That is not what we're talking about here. Somebody told me that there was a chutzpin yak, I won't say who his name was, but who asked the Rav and Shir when they were learning this sugyan ksubos, how his wife doesn't cover her hair. So he said, that's what the Rav answered. Doesn't say you have to divorce her. So he says that if you want to divorce her, then she doesn't get her ksuba. Fine, back to here. So the Darke, so the Beis Yosef says, what is the Torah talking about? The Beis Yosef asks, what is the Torah talking about? It sounds like from the Torah, it's Eino Hagun, B'habuchatzer Afilu, Pruas Harosh, Mamish, Les Lamba, it's 100% Mutter, and that's what the Gemara sounds like. So where is the Torah coming from? So the Darkei Moshe answers that, you know what? The Torah doesn't mean to say it's aser. The Torah simply means to imply that there's tzias miyahave shashum isha lo terasara klal afilu bevayas ukem Moshe matzinu bemaisa dekimchis shazafsa mishum ze shietzum mimena kohanim gedolim. The Torah means to say that there is no chiyuv. There's no chiyuv in the chatzer, like the Beis Yosef was correct. There's only one way to read the Gemara, both according to Beis Yosef and the Ramah. They don't see any other way to read the Gemara. But the Gemara is just saying that it's not aser, but it's still a midah of tznius. It's whether you want to call that midas chasidus or maybe even more, it's recommended. It's nice, but it's not obligatory. And he says, I'll prove it to you from the story of Kimchas. Why? The Gemara asks, Kimchas had, I think, 7 sons who were Kohanim Gedolim. So the Gemara asks, why? They asked her, how were you Zocha to such wonderful sons? So she said that the walls of my house never saw my hair. So that's what the Ramah is quoting. You see here, it's a midah of tznius. Now, it's sort of interesting, just parenthetically, because the Ramah says here, Ukemosha Matsina b'maisa dekimcha shazachsa mishum zeh, she yetz b'mena kohanim gedolim. She was also because of this to have kohanim gedolim. So what's interesting is if you actually look at the Gemara says that they said, no, that's not the pshat. That's what she said. But they said, because there were lots of other people who did that. They didn't have such amazing children. But why did the Ramah think it was a raya? Right? The Gemara says, harbi asu came below ho'ilu. So the pshat is, I think, the Gemara is saying that harbi asu kein v'lo ho'ilu means that don't think, it's like a skula, that if you go ahead and you cover every piece of hair in your house, now you're going to have the most wonderful children in the world, kohanim gedolim. No. She was right that it was this, the zchus of this tremendous tznius that she had, that she merited such wonderful children. You see, by the way, the Chacham knew it was nothing to do with her husband, right? They asked her, why did you get them? Maybe they knew her husband wasn't so hot. So if she had such good kids, it must be coming from her zchus. So they asked her, what was her zchus? She said the answer. And the Gemara said, harbe asu v'lohu ilu. You know, it wasn't just that. It's part of the package. That might have been why she was Zocha, but you shouldn't think that, if you just do this one thing, you're going to have the best children in the world. It's sort of like the skula syndrome, that if you go ahead and, you know, there's a skula for everything, and all you need to do is that skula, and that, you know, person isn't married, so they're going to daven for somebody else, not that they don't care about anybody else, but they want to get married. So they're going to daven somebody else. So that way they'll be men at Tchila and they'll get married, right? So maybe that doesn't work. So anyway, and the Yerushalmi also sounds like this, Rama, also. The Yerushalmi also sounds like that. That was this chus. Anyway, so yeah, back.
The sons also have to die in order.
So that's a ha'ara, one of them, and some of them. Another, sometimes the sons got it because one of them got disqualified for the non-Jewish woman spit at him and the like. But it could have been over a long time. In other words, over many, many, many years, she was zocha to have that. There's another ha'ara, because it says that there were only four good Kohanim Gedolim in Bayis Sheni, right? So, and we, you know, there were some other good ones besides them, like Shimon HaTzadeh. But anyway, that's a different story. So that's what the Ramah says. Could be that the Mechaber agrees to the Ramah. The Mechaber just understood that Gemara saying this was Midas Chasidus. So it wouldn't be appropriate for the Tur to imply that it's that this is something you should do. Not everything that's a Midas Chasidus should you write, this is something you should do. So the Mechaber might agree that there is this Midas Chasidus, but he didn't think that was enough to explain the Torah. Whereas Ramah held, no, the Torah was implying that this is something that should be done. Okay, great. So these are the two Pshatim. So are there any other Pshatim? So there are. And this is the view of the Riyaz, quoted in the Shilta Giborim over there in Ksubos. This is probably the view of the Aruch, that actually it's Aser in the Chatzer. Ah, how are you going to read the Gemara? So the Bach and Simon Kof Tesvav, Sivkat and Beis, addresses this. And since we're running low on time, the Kitzer, what he says, is that Bahadur Parch B'Gemara V'El B'Chatzer Im Kain L'Nach Dabas L'Avim Avinu Hachim Berusho. Saying that if you were to require full kisui seyar, full the redid and a mitzpachas, so no. Everybody just wears a mitpachas, but you have to at least wear a mitpachas. So how do we paskin? Again, we have three opinions of how to read the Torah, I should say. Either the Torah is wrong, or it's a recommendation, or it's mandatory. Shulchan Aruch and Rama Meikel, the Beis Shmuel quotes this Bach, sounds like he's Machmir, and the Mishnah Brura also is very into the stringent view. The Mishnah Brura also quotes the Magen Avraham, who quotes the Zohar. The Zohar is machmir on two levels. Number one, the Zohar is more machmir against Shulchan Aruch on two levels. Number one is that the Zohar assumes that the whole hair has to be covered, not anything exposed. So that's more machmir than Shulchan Aruch, that talks about this heter of chutz l'tzimsa, based off of the Rashba and others. And the second way that the Zohar is machmir is even in a bias. Basically, Zohar says like Kimchas. Now, the Zohar could be read in two ways. The Zohar could be saying that this is Aser, in which case the Zohar is almost certainly against the Bavli, or likely against the Bavli, or the Zohar could be saying that this is like a really, really good thing to do, and it's very, you know, wonderful things will happen if you do, and all sorts of bad things will happen if you don't. In the Tshuva Ma'am al Shakar, which is also quoted by the Magen Avraham, when he quotes the Zohar, so he says, well, either the Zohar is just making a recommendation, in which case it's a recommendation, or the Zohar is saying that this is something that you must do, in which case we wouldn't paskin like the Zohar, because it's against the Bavli. Even if you don't paskin like the Zohar, the Magen Avraham says it's a good thing to do, and that's why many women nowadays are makpidos to cover their hair even in the house, and, you know, certainly the Mishnah Brura strongly recommends this, if not, though, I don't know if he says something that you have to do, but it's recommended practice. I was told by Rabbi Tendler that Rav Moshe would discourage it, or not necessarily discourage it, but he in Tshuvos he recommends it, but he would discourage men from encouraging their husbands, their wives, to do it. that might be because he was talking about a time when it was a lot of mesiras nefesh for women to cover their hair, because most women weren't, and it would feel too onerous if you even did it in your own house. But anyway, that's that. Now, what about in a house? So the Chasam Sofer, as we mentioned, is very machmir, based off of the Zohar. The Rav Moshe is Megil. He has a couple of tshuvos on this. One is Eben HaEzer, Chilak Aleph, Simen Nun Ches. And one of the points that Rav Moshe makes, and he uses this point to actually make a number of points. One of them is his theory that a tefach is mutter, is to basically argue that, going back to the point that we said earlier, which is that here we're coming from the Isser Shabo, the mitzvah Shabo, I should say, as opposed to, let's say, other things. Rav Moshe writes that even though, let's say, when it comes to tefach, we know the halacha is that tefach is, the Rama paskens at least, is only for some, for your own wife, somebody else's wife, even a kol shehu, is an erfa. Well, he thinks, and certainly if tefach is not mutter l'chatchila l'kulei alma, he thinks that maybe seir is different. Why? Because like we said, seir is coming from the mitzvah. After all, it doesn't apply to penuya the way we paskin. Not only that, but, you know, if it was rooted in hear her, this is the point that the Chazon Ish makes, if it was rooted in hear her, and it would be aser, even if, it shouldn't be aser if you don't know she's married, right? And the Chazon Ish says, lo matzanu b'poskim, that they said, well, it's okay, it's not, you could say krishma in front of uncovered hair if you don't know she's married. So it must be that this is coming from the mitzvah shabo. Ah, if it's coming from the mitzvah shabo, so then since we say, when we say tefach bisha erva means the shear of erva is a tefach, so therefore less than that isn't, and therefore you're not chayef to do it. So it's the opposite almost of, let's say, shok. When it comes to shok, because it causes hear her, so therefore you have to cover it. Here, you have to cover it not because it causes hearer. It doesn't necessarily cause hearer. Even if it wouldn't cause hearer, like you don't know she's married, you still have to cover it. Why? Because it comes from the mitzvah shabbat. Now, we don't have time to talk about this now, but this point is very relevant to the famous heter of the Aruch HaShulchan. Why? The Aruch HaShulchan said that Aruch HaShulchan sometimes misquoted as saying you don't have to cover your hair anymore if nobody covers their hair. That's certainly not what he says. You absolutely do have to cover your hair. He says it's deraisa. What the Aruch HaShulchan says is in a society where it's common for women not to cover their hair, since it's not going to be garim hirur, so you can make a bracha in the presence of uncovered hair. And the Mishnah Berurah over here disagrees. Mishnah Berurah here is l'shitaso. He thinks that both hair and shok are objective error.